Welcome. I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is your Calls Media Roundtable. Now that the presidential election is in full swing, how should the media cover Donald Trump and his anti-democratic authoritarian agenda? Project 2025 is available for everyone to see. It's online. We've talked about it many times. So what will it take to ensure those issues get the attention they deserve rather than the usual horse race coverage? Chris Lehman is D.C. Bureau Chief for The Nation. His latest piece is called The Terrifying Christian Nationalist Crusade to Conquer America. He reports on a plan that would vindicate corporal punishment in the home. We'll find out what that means. Abolish public education. Abolish abortion. Define marriage as the covenant union of a biological male and a biological female, and more, a lot more. Chris Lehman is also contributing editor at The Baffler and author of the book, The Money Cult, Capitalism, Christianity, and the Unmaking of the American Dream. Hi, Chris. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Rose. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. So there's that obvious question, Chris, that we've been asking for the last 8 years. And yeah, now here we are again, and we know what Trump is planning to do. It's all out there for everyone to read. What is it going to take to ensure that we don't get the usual horse race coverage?
Well, an entirely different media and system and a different set of assumptions that inform it. Yeah, it is a little crazy making to be this late into the Trump era and still seeing these very fundamental agenda items and constituencies completely overlooked. It is, it's hard to know where to begin. One thing that's worth flagging in the discussion of the Christian nationalist influence is Congress also bears some responsibility because the Select Committee to Investigate the January 6th Insurrection, under pressure from Liz Cheney, the Republican representative from Wyoming, made a deliberate decision not to focus on the religious element in the uprising, which was huge. And as a result, a lot of these things we're seeing now in the Christian nationalist world appear in this kind of fragmented, decontextualized form without any sort of broader narrative in our press coverage to make sense of it. The press itself is also, I've had a lifelong interest in the history of American religion, and I'm stunned, frankly, at just how incurious regular political reporters are about basic issues of religion and politics. There's a fallback assumption that religion is a private matter. You might offend somebody's sensibilities if you report on it in a political context. And I don't think that's ever true. Religion has been central to our political life from the nation's founding. It's especially not true now. Of this, mobilization of Christian nationalist forces on the right.
So who's getting it right? I mean, we start our shows on our media roundtable by highlighting reporting that was done well. So who do you think's getting it right, Chris?
Yeah, there was a great piece published last week at Talking Points Memo by a reporter, Josh Kavinsky, on a secretive Christian nationalist group. It's all male, all heterosexual, all, quote, non-hyphenated Americans, who share basic political allegiances. They're connected to the Claremont Institute, which is a very Trumpy think tank based at Claremont University in California. They have a major donor behind them who is really interested in sort of versions of the Great Replacement theory. It's really kind of shocking stuff. And it's a perfect example of, it's the sort of thing that should be, I think, dominating conversations right now about what a second Trump administration would entail. Jennifer Cohn, who also does all great work covering Christian nationalism for the Bucks County Beacon, has a great story, which is, the parts of my piece that you quoted are paraphrases of her reporting, where she uncovered a Christian nationalist manifesto associated with another Trumpy think tank called the Center for American Renewal. That's actually headed up by Trump's former director of the Office of Management and Budget, and a key sort of strategist and aide in that group is a former Trump Defense Department and State Department official. You know, the idea that these figures who held such, you know, consequential positions of influence in the last Trump administration are now coming out with this laundry list of, you know, as you noted, pro-corporal punishment. They also want to, you know, bring back the public punishment of blasphemy. They say it's not incompatible with religious liberty. This is a very, you know, focused, ideologically disciplined and powerful force for reaction on the American political scene, and our press is doing very little to cover it. You know, the two publications I mentioned, Bucks County Beacon and Talking Points Memo, are sort of left-leaning. They're great operations, don't get me wrong, but you aren't seeing coverage of any of this in, you know, our mainstream political press.
Chris Layman is D.C. Bureau Chief for The Nation. You can find his latest piece, The Terrifying Christian Nationalist Crusade to Conquer America, at yourcallradio.org. And we'd like to welcome David K. Johnston to the show. David has spent many years covering Donald Trump. His latest book is It's Even Worse Than You Think, What the Trump Administration is Doing to America. David K. Johnston is a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter, founder of the nonprofit news service DC Report. Hi, David. Thanks for joining us again.
Well, thank you for having me. And by the way, that was the second book in my Trump trilogy. The most recent book is The Big Cheat, How Donald Trump Fleeced America and Enriched Himself and His Family, although it came out 3 years ago.
Well, thank you for correcting me. We can't keep up because you write so many great books, David. David, given that you've done...
I reviewed his first Trump trilogy book for The Nation when it came out. And yes, David does great work.
Well, David, given that you've done so much coverage of Trump, what do you think it's going to take to ensure that what Trump is planning to do if he wins again gets the attention it deserves rather than the usual horse race coverage?
I think that assuming that there will be a change in political coverage, politics coverage, is not going to happen. That's just a dream. News organizations are very rigid about policies and practices that have worked, and nothing in politics coverage is ever been adapted to understand when you have someone who's not a politician, but a con artist who wants to be our dictator. I think there's a practical matter. What needs to happen is that the Democratic Party and the independents and Republicans who don't want Trump back in need to focus on the 13 states that could go for Biden or for Trump, get people registered, and then as the election approaches, make sure they actually vote. That's all it takes. I mean, the vote outcome in California, where you are, in New York State, where I live, those are predetermined. We know how they're going to go. We know that Louisiana is going to go for Donald Trump. But the 13 states in the South and the Midwest include Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and the South, Georgia and Florida and South Carolina, North Carolina, sorry. That's where attention needs to be paid. And elections are about getting votes. So just get out the vote.
And as you know, David, we talked about this earlier this week with two guests who are calling for the abolishment of the Electoral College. All it would have taken last time around is Trump to get 40,000 more votes, and he would have won.
Right. And the Electoral College, which was a compromise so that slave owners would agree to the Constitution, just like James Wilson, one of the framers of labor, became a Supreme Court justice, came up with the language three-fifths of a person for indigenous peoples and enslaved peoples. And these are 18th century drags on modern life. The problem is that if you open up the Constitution, as your previous guest was discussing, there are a whole bunch of people who are going to want to limit your free speech, mandate that you attend or at least respect and no doubt pay money to Christian churches. And by that, they mean their version of Christian churches. And so you've got to have lots of groundwork laid and a clear majority to, we're going to defend the concept of rights. You know, one of the problems, and I teach this to my students, Rose, at Syracuse University College of Law. I'm not a lawyer, but I've taught law for 15 years, is that people don't understand the principles in our Constitution. They don't understand how they came about, and they especially don't understand that in America, civil rights are the product of property rights, whereas in post-World War II Europe, civil rights are human rights, and they are based on human dignity, not an underlying basis of property rights. And that creates a very different concept and thought process about liberty.
Well, and here's what we're getting. Here's a New York Times headline from just a couple days ago. The Biden-Trump rerun, a nation craving change gets more of the same. I mean, I'm hearing this constantly on public radio that people don't want either of these candidates. They're not excited about this election. And that very well may be true. But what about, Chris, okay, mention that, that's fine. But let's talk about the issues and what is at stake here.
Exactly. As the press critic Jay Rosen says, you know, political reporters should not be focusing on the odds of the eventual outcome of the race, but the stakes of the race. And it's exactly right. Every time I read one of these kind of faux jaded dispatches from the Times or the Washington Post, or see political coverage in the same vein on television, it's beyond exasperating. David is absolutely right that, you know, the outcome of the election is ultimately determined at the ballot box, but the key ingredient for democracy to function is having an informed citizenry. And our media simply is not doing the job of informing citizens of the basic disparity between the visions of Joe Biden and Donald Trump, and what Donald Trump really means for the future of what remains of American democracy. Just this past week, it's stunning. there are these stories of just blatant corruption in and around the Trump political operation. You know, the Smirnoff, the witness who was allegedly fingering Hunter Biden in the Baroque conspiracy that House Republicans are trying to use as a basis for impeachment, was paid $600,000 by Trump cronies in advance of him coming forward with this bogus testimony that's since been completely discredited. Meanwhile, an employee at Mar-a-Lago recounted on CNN how he was hauling off boxes of classified documents at the very moment that the Justice Department was raiding Mar-a-Lago. It's because we have this, the press is focused on like the shiny new story of the moment. There's no context in which, this is Putin level mob like behavior at the highest level of power in the Republican Party. And in order for the American voter to exercise their responsibility as citizens, they need to know that in those terms. David is right that the practices of the existing political press just cannot adapt themselves to this reality. But this is the reality.
Rose, David, if I can
please go ahead.
Add to that for a second. There has been extensive coverage on the network news, on NPR, in the New York Times, the LA Times, the Chronicle, et cetera, of Joe Biden is a poor old man with a bad memory.
Right.
Because of the lie told by a political operative, Robert Kerr, who was the special prosecutor looking into into the Hunter Biden matters, and who resigned the day before his testimony so that he would not be subject to the rules of the Justice Department. That's a law we need to change. If you're ever testifying what you did as an official of the government, you should be subject to the rules of when you were a government employee. But the fact is, the transcript shows Mr. Herr saying, gee, you seem to have a photographic memory. And that when he was asked, when did your son Beau die? He said, oh, my God, May 31st. The testimony and the transcript of the testimony shows that there is nothing wrong with his memory whatsoever. This was a inappropriate comment in any event, but it turns out it's a lie by a partisan Republican who abused his public office. Has that been written up and told on TV? Nope. Almost no coverage at all. And the reason is, once a meme gets into the news media, one of my favorites is that the alternative minimum tax was aimed at rich people. That was the minimum tax that was repealed over about 40 years ago. The alternative minimum tax was aimed at middle-class American homeowners who are married and have children. And I tried and tried and tried to get that changed. I lectured about it. I talked about it. I wrote stories in the New York Times. And you know what? Once the meme is in there, the herd adopts that as shorthand. And that's what's happened to Biden. To some extent, I blame the Biden people for being too cautious and not getting out there and being aggressive. The Democrats are weak on messaging. They always have been, unlike the Republicans, who listen to spin doctors and PR people and frame their messages to do the maximum damage to the other side and to protect them as best they can.
Well, David, since you brought up taxes and you're a tax expert, going back to issues, Americans for Tax Fairness had this report that just came out. Such important report. This should be, the candidates and their supporters should be asked this, about this over and over again. Between 2018 and 2022, 35 major U.S. corporations like Ford, Netflix, and Tesla paid their executives more than they paid in federal income taxes. We're all getting our taxes together, and most of us are going to pay more than many of these people.
Yeah, and just to be clear, it's not all their executives. There are thousands of them. It's the top five executives at each of those companies. Mm-hmm. So at each of those companies, five executives, the CEO, typically the COO, the chief information officer at some of them, the chief legal counsel, five executives got more money from those companies than they paid in federal income taxes. And some of those companies in one or more years paid no income taxes. I don't remember how many paid none for 5 years on net. And even if you dislike the corporate income tax, and I have problems with it in the 21st century, the fact is that's the law. And the law is written to help companies not pay taxes and to make sure that you as a worker have your taxes taken from you before you get paid. That's a crazy system. It is a system to benefit the already rich, because that's who owns companies by and large, are rich people by definition, and to make sure that workers are fully taxed.
Well, we'll definitely do a longer show about that in the coming weeks. David K. Johnston has spent many years covering Donald Trump. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter, the author of many books, including The Big Cheat, How Donald Trump Fleeced America and Enriched Himself and His Family. Chris Lehman is D.C. Bureau Chief for The Nation. His latest piece is called The Terrifying Christian Nationalist Crusade to Conquer America. What are your thoughts about how the media should cover Trump voters? A new survey from the University of Massachusetts Amherst and YouGov found that 74% of Republican voters said it would be a good idea if Trump follows through on his remarks to become a dictator on the first day of his second term. That's 74%. He's got a well-oiled machine behind him, anti-abortion forces, white nationalists, anti-Semites, the very rich and CEOs who love his tax cuts and the drill baby drill mantra. And then you've got Republicans like Senators Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham. So, Chris, what are your thoughts about these different factions that are supporting Trump? How do you fold all of that in the coverage?
Well, I think, again, to sort of recur to the dominant model, what the press typically does, and it's amazing to me that it's still being treated this way, is, you know, they might, A friend of mine calls this the tradition of the, quote, Cletus safari, of sending reporters in from New York or D.C. to parachute into the Midwest or the South to interview a white working class Trump supporter. And lo and behold, they support Trump no matter what, come hell or high water, which is, you know, whatever else journalists are supposed to do, they're supposed to be in the business of delivering news. That is not news at this point. And, you know, what is telling in, you know, poll findings like the ones you've cited, you know, the Republican Party is a cult of personality right now. It is in many ways a religious revival in the form of a political campaign, which is not something we've ever really seen in American history to this degree. So to report it differently, I think you have to look at the actual ideas that are driving the main players who are shaping the Trump agenda. You mentioned Project 2025, which the Heritage Foundation has put forward as the blueprint for the next Trump administration. And, you know, reporters should be, again, all over that. The Nation is planning to devote a special issue just to that so people can know. But, you know, we're, again, a nonprofit lefty magazine. I don't know what the mainstream press is thinking when they overlook this stuff. It is, as I keep saying, beyond exasperating. It's like, you know, having a dance critic cover the NFL. Like, the skill set isn't there to convey the basic information that needs, that voters desperately need.
David, what do you think?
I'm sorry, it was for me?
Yes.
I think that Chris is exactly right about what's gone wrong here. The questions that should be asked of voters, and journalists should go and ask voters questions, instead are about things like, well, would your religion be protected by the Trump administration? And how would you feel if its vision of imposing a theocracy excludes you because you're Catholic or Seventh-day Adventist or a Mormon? That kind of question would elicit better answers. And I suspect you would hear from people, what are you talking about? I haven't heard that. Trump voters should be asked, well, where are you getting your information? Because when I talk to them, and when I've been on talk radio where people from the right call in, well, most right-wing stations don't have me on anymore. That's part of the big change. They want to have silo. But when I do get that opportunity, I'm appalled at how uninformed the Trump supporters are. And they've been trained and have adopted that, you know, it's a lie. If it was on Fox, it's true. If it was anywhere else, it's just a lie. You know, everything in the New York Times is just made up. They don't have any reporting there. It's just opinions, which to anybody who reads the New York Times is hilarious. I've many times posted from the LA Times, the New York Times, the Nation magazine, other people. When you hear people say there's no investigative reporting, show them this and cite an article like today's LA Times expose about restaurant inspectors in LA, one of whom committed suicide because their demands placed on them, a shrinking number of them that they can't meet. And so Trump voters in particular need to be asked about the policies and politics reporters. We should never call them political reporters. They are politics reporters. That's an important grammatical distinction. Political means that they're representative of some place on the spectrum. They're politics reporters. They should be asking the questions about what Trump proposes to do. Well, do you want Ukraine to be conquered? Vladimir Putin has publicly declared many times that his plan is to then conquer these other countries that were finally freed by a half century of effort by the U.S. and the West to bring down the old Soviet. That's the kind of question that should be asked.
Well, I'd love to, I wish we had more time for both of you, because again, the other question, David, and in fact, if you want to take this, we got an email from someone recently who said, can you spend more time talking about those people who are getting news from their silos? I won't name the publications, but places that are clearly not factual. They're full of conspiracy theories. And some people are getting all of their information from these places. Is the goal to try to reach these people and bring them back? I mean, as a longtime journalist, David, how are you thinking about these issues?
Well, I think that people can be brought back, but I think the primary issue right now should be registering people and getting out the vote. Mm-hmm. And it should also be that the item I sent you is a new good story this week in the news that's getting no attention. It turns out that one of the reasons that America right now has the number one economy among the 20 advanced nations in the world, the fastest job growth, real wage growth, when everybody else's wages are flat to falling or growing insignificantly, growing GDP and the lowest inflation, is in large part all those people coming across the Mexican border who are working. And they are producing more for the economy than the wages they're collecting. And the Brookings Institution has a report on this week. It's gotten almost no news attention. I think I sent a Reuters story about it, datelined London, of all places. And this is not in some ways new. The University of Pennsylvania has an economic model, which has proven very reliable over the last decade or so that I've followed it. And it has argued the same thing for a long time. The best way to grow the U.S. economy and the greatest GDP growth per person is by doubling the number of migrants into the country, regardless of their education. Doesn't matter if they're uneducated, because the people who get up and come here are the strivers. And the strivers build the economy, not people who collect dividends and drive around in their luxury cars without working.
Another important story, David, and this one that you mentioned is U.S. immigration shifts economy's trajectory, and we'll definitely do a show about that. Thank you so much. David K. Johnston has been reporting on Donald Trump for many, many years. He's a Pulitzer Prize winning investigative reporter, author of many books, including It's Even Worse Than You Think, What the Trump Administration is Doing to America, and another book, The Big Cheat, How Donald Trump Fleeced America and Enriched Himself and His Family. Chris Lehman is D.C. Bureau Chief for The Nation. You can find his latest piece, The Terrifying Christian Nationalist Crusade to Conquer America, at yourcallradio.org. Chris and David, thanks for your work. We'd love to have you back. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Rose.
Glad to be with you.
Coming up after a break, award-winning investigative journalist Shane Bauer will discuss his New Yorker piece, The Israeli Settlers Attacking Their Palestinian Neighbors. This is Your Calls Media Roundtable. We'll be back after this.